Well, one, just talk to me a little bit. What was sort of the first thought that you had as you were sort of hearing the verdict come out, and where were you?
When I was hearing the verdict, I was at home watching it with my mother. I was very grateful to hear the verdict. I know that there's nothing that can bring George Floyd back, but I do believe that this is the first step.
Yeah. What was sort of racing through your mind when you heard the judge call that out?
Honestly, I was just blank because I had no idea how to react. I had to be okay with both, and not okay in the matter of that it was okay for them not to find him guilty, but just centering myself.
What was it like to sort of watch that next to your mom?
It was great. It showed my mom, who was kind of not having much hope or faith, and
yeah,
stating that, you know, that there was only going to be one charge. And I was like, if he can be guilty on all charges, he should. And that's what I was hoping for. And my mom was like, I'm hoping, but I just at least want one. You know?
Yeah, sure. Was EJ watching it with you at all?
No, EJ was not watching it this time. Anime had his full and undivided attention.
That can happen. Did, you know, like, were you, like, texting with friends or anybody else from your family, too, like, when you first kind of heard about it? Or what was, you know, did you call anybody?
When I first heard about it, I did go ahead and get in contact with quite a few people. I think I got a chance to call one or two people because I was contacted after you told me, actually. And I was like, hold on, let me call and check and see if this is on everybody's radar, because I don't think anyone was expecting a verdict this quick.
Yeah. I know, you know, this is positive news in the sense that someone's being held accountable for what happened, but, you know, is this something that you think is really justice? Like, in your perspective, is something like, does the word justice really mean anything, or is this something that can ever really be taken or held, you know, to justice, or is that not really, like, a word that you can use to describe this?
Can you define your version of justice for me so that
I can make
sure I answer this question properly?
I mean, I guess I don't really know, right? Like, what's your version of justice? I guess is my sort of, like, question of that. Like, does it fit what you think justice is? Or I guess because I don't really know, you know, what is the right, you know, definition of that word. I think it's so subjective.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. That was going to be my answer, that justice is subjective. What might be justified for one person is not justified for another. Especially
yeah,
if you were in the conversation early when George Floyd video first went to the news, where some people were automatically just siding with the officers, saying, you know, they have dangerous work and whatever they have to do to be able to go home, that's what they should do. And that was supported by certain individuals. There were other individuals that it sparked something to say, this is not right. My idea of justice is getting rid of qualified immunity for officers, for us to hold the police officers accountable as we do regular citizens.
What were you thinking too? Did you see also that there was just another shooting just a half an hour before the verdict was read here in Columbus?
Yes, a 15-year-old girl
yeah,
was murdered by the Columbus Police Department.
How does it feel, you know, to have something like that, news break like that, and that happened a half an hour before the verdict was read? I mean, does it sort of temper anything remotely positive or celebratory that you feel about the verdict? Or is it, I guess, how do you
feel? Now, when we have a lot of officers, what we need to make sure that we know is that police was never invented to protect Black people. That's very important. And to also make sure that if we want to see adequate change, we have to start to invest in make historical investments in Black people and communities. There's no way that we're going to be able to continue with this type of culture that we have on this land and be able to say that Black lives matter as well.
What does that kind of change look like here in Columbus? Like, what are some substantive, you know, steps that you'd like to see here?
I would like to see us to, first off, make sure that we defund and divest the police, elevate the need to make historical investments in Black people and communities, everything from ensuring Black kids to have access to high quality education, to the need to address the homeless crisis, to the need to remove police officers from dealing with quality of life issues. Homelessness, substance abuse, mental health crisis, sex work. Those issues should be handled and dealt with by trained counselors and professionals.
Is that something you think the activist community in Columbus can achieve?
Definitely, especially if Gary Tyak decides to do what he promised us that ensured his vote, which is to make sure that he prosecutes these cops.
You know, just seeing something like Derek Chauvin being sentenced and held guilty for all three counts the way that he was, does that give you hope that that might be the case, you know, for Adam Coy and Jason Mead?
Definitely. Mead is next. That's what the information, Mead is next. And then after that, it's Coy. We have to address it in our own communities first. We are in Columbus, Ohio, and we have had enough names named off to last us every day for a year, times however many years you want to. While we've had police officers able to look the other way, have citizens look the other way, and realize that the police are not here to protect Black people. And that's the reason why we need to defund, divest, and abolish the police.
How else, just like generally, are you feeling right now? I mean, I can't imagine. It's probably like whiplash. You know, you get this news on the verdict, but then you also, you know, see that there's another Black person, this time a girl who's only 15 years old on the East Side, you know, being shot and killed. Even though we don't know, you know, what the details or what the circumstances really are of that now. Like, what's your first thought?
How do you justify murdering a 15-year-old? How do you justify that? That is a child. Under the description of the law, that child is under the caregiver of the parent, unless it's a ward of the state. There is never a reason to justify Columbus police officers murdering our children, because that's what they are. As a 15-year-old that had an opportunity to have a life, and it was stripped from her. When an officer felt like they wanted to be the police, they wanted to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner, and we're tired of it.
You know, I remember when we were in D.C., you know, last summer, when you saw, I think it was the dad of the Black man who was killed in Wisconsin near Milwaukee.
Oh, in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You're talking about Big Daddy. Yes.
Big Daddy, yes.
Yes, that was Jacob Blake's father.
Jacob Blake's father.
Who was shot seven times in the back.
Yes.
At point blank range and survived.
I was thinking about that before you had called me back, and I was just, you know, I was wondering, you know, thinking about taking EJ there and that whole trip and getting to see and talk with, you know, somebody like Jacob Blake's dad, and then, you know, sort of factoring in the totality of just everything that's happened in the last year. Like, is it hard, the process? Like, is it something that you're still just kind of like struggling with, or are you just kind of going like day to day to day, or do you like sit there and think about it a lot, you know, just cumulatively?
I think about it all the time, because these issues that are coming to the police officers are issues that have started as social issues, such as being in lack, not having funding to take care of our houseless people, to take care of our folks that are dealing with substance abuse. We have so many programs to get people locked up. We have so many attorneys, so many judges, so many police officers. We work with a $368 million budget, and we don't even have a budget for housing because it's protected and gate kept by services that are approved by our city, which is completely unfair, and it allows for us not to serve our community the way that we are supposed to serve our community. The community protects the community, not the police.
Do you think you feel, you know, right now that you have more hope than not, or is it just kind of everything that's happened just feels like not enough progress?
If I didn't have hope, I wouldn't still be out here. That's honestly my answer. The reason why I continue to press on and continue to try to be in this fight with my brothers and sisters, I'm in this fight and this struggle because I don't want my six kids to be in this fight and struggle. This is something that could have ended years before I was born. And this is something that they are giving us the cross to carry. We're not about to carry it. We're going to go ahead and demand justice, and we're going to continue to stay hopeful that our pushes and that our voices will be heard.
Well, thanks, Heather. Thank you for talking with me and for letting me just kind of pick your brain and see where you're at right now. I know it's a crazy time, and I'm sure your head's kind of all over the place. So I appreciate you talking.
No problem.